Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 59, and today's date is July 12th, 2017. My name is Carrie. I will be your host for the evening, and as always, I'm joined by two guys who may or may not know where Fandango's horse is, Kent and Russ. How are you guys tonight?
Well, I was good until I forgot, and I forgot that Fandango lost his horse. Now I'm a little bit heartbroken. I forgot. Thanks for bringing that back up.
I am so sorry to remind you of that, Ben. How about you, Kent?
I think it was Bray Wyatt. Remember, just last week, he was out in the middle of a desert. How did he get there?
He was out in the desert on
a horse no name. There you go.
That's right. If they don't bring that up with Bray next week.
Bray get a storyline that interests? What? Get out of here.
Not on my WWE. And with that, so for our first-time listeners, well, we recap and discuss the week in wrestling. We also have a few fun segments that we'd like to share with you as well. Also, if you are a first-time listener, welcome, and we hope you enjoyed the show, and we apologize in advance. So, guys, let's get started. So this past Sunday we had a pay-per-view, Great Balls of Fire. For our listeners, if you want a full in-depth review of the pay-per-view, go to 90s.com/podcasts, or you can go to iTunes to listen to Kent and Steve break down the matches, as well as other various topics. They go off on lots of tangents, everyone. Or if you'd rather read your reviews, there is a review blog at 90s.com/wrestling, where Are You Not Entertained's own Kent and Russ voice their opinions in the written word on Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah. So much effort was put into it. So much.
I spent hours, possibly minutes on it.
Anything you guys want to add about Great Balls of Fire, or should we just go have some fun? Because really, I don't think any of us want to talk about it.
Goodness well, gracious, it was a pay-per-view?
It wasn't even a good pay-per-view. It was so mediocre. So mediocre.
I'm just mad that I didn't get to see the finish of the Heath and Kurt Hawkins match. But if you go to WWE.com, you can actually see still pictures. And Heath finished him off with a kick.
Awesome. I believe I called that match of the night. So
I believe just last week I said that the tag team match, which was the match of the night, was going to be 4-3.
Yes. And after you made fun of me for calling, what did I say, 3-2?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, do you think it's going to be that many? Yeah. It's more, apparently.
So. Yeah, I made fun of you and then got it right.
Yeah. So, win for you. The other thing I really just really quickly want to talk about, the
Dean Ambrose?
Oh, yeah. Dean Ambrose in the Miz. That was terrible. I don't think I've seen those two put in less of an effort ever. And I've seen Dean Ambrose blow a WrestleMania match.
This year?
Yeah, just this year. I mean, that was terrible. And I like both those guys, too. So, it's not like I'm coming off of like, oh, God. It was just bad.
Yeah, there was a lot of mediocrity. Lot.
Something I was wondering, I believe it was during the pay-per-view, some point over the past week, I heard that Seth Rollins had participated in more pay-per-view matches over the past, 3 years than anybody else.
It was on, it was on the pay-per-view. They said it.
That can't be right, can it?
It would make very little sense considering who has
Dean's
been
healthy the whole his whole run. Seth has missed quite a few times.
Yeah, he missed at least six, if not six pay-per-views probably.
So I'm confused how that could possibly be right. I mean, hell, Roman hasn't missed hardly any. I would think Roman would have more than Seth.
Yeah, Listen, every time you say to prove them wrong, they always prove you wrong. So, I don't know. They're usually pretty good on their own facts. So, yeah. it has to be true. I don't know how it is, unless they're counting, like, because he had two matches at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And that somehow puts him over the edge of somebody else?
It could be. I don't know. I was trying to think of, like, other, like, stipulation matches where he may have faced, like, you know, a gauntlet match. Maybe
right, which
counts.
You count as two different. Right, yeah, that's what I was trying to think.
But
too.
A gauntlet match is just a gauntlet match.
So it only counts as one win?
Right, it should, technically. So I don't know. I really was going to spend the time.
What about
and
the John
like,
Cena?
Nah.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't either. But what about the John Cena and him match when he. They count that as two matches for the world title than the USA title?
Maybe. I don't know. Russ, I trust your level, your Neville level of expertise on
on Seth,
the former number one draft pick of all of wrestling, the greatest guy that ever lived. Let me say something. This isn't even what grinds my gears, but God damn it, WWE. First you start off with your Seth Rollins fucking video game advertisement. Don't show an ounce of gameplay. And now, well, free already get Kurt fucking Angle. And it's the same damn video of damn. Where's the gameplay? What am I buying? Am I buying just like a motion picture of Kurt Angle and Seth Rollins walking around? Is that what I'm purchasing for $60?
That's
what
only
I need
if
to know.
You pre-purchase. If you don't pre-purchase, you get Seth Rollins only.
God. That's terrible.
I'm assuming it's like any other wrestling game. Mediocre at best.
Oh, Carrie, I forgot to add this to our notes of what we should discuss. But while we're live,
yes,
we should also talk about what the outcome of next week's thing with Kurt, what the angle with Kurt's angle is going to be.
What's Kurt's angle? There we go. We got a segment there. We go. What's Kurt's angle?
What's Kurt's angle? Okay.
Me and Steve had a lot of fun talking about it, so I fear we could have some fun with it.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm going to go crazy with it. I'm hoping it's something stupid, like he had a hand with Mae Young. Or
I thought that was Mark Henry who did that.
It was, but could have been Kurt. Who knows? Maybe it was Kurt.
All right, so let's move on from Great Balls of Fire and all that was, and... So, Kent, you mentioned to me the other day that you have a game that you want Russ and I to play. Can you share with us what this is and what the rules are? And let's go ahead and play it. Put ourselves in a good mood before we talk about Raw.
I don't know. It's a Saw game. I'm kind of scared.
Do both of you have your cell phones?
I do have my cell phone, yes.
Okay, good. I will only accept answers via cell phone.
Oh,
that way neither
snap.
Of you can cheat.
All right.
Secondly, you are on the honor system of not looking anything up on Wikipedia.
Aww.
So, I gave you the hint of Austin Aries. It got me thinking, the reason that Austin Aries supposedly requested for his release is because he was pigeonholed on 205. We all know he's more than capable of making an impact on the main roster at his weight. So, that made me wonder... How many other guys in wrestling past has made a big impact on the main roster without just necessarily being pigeonholed as a cruiserweight? And I'm going to expand upon that just a little bit. I'm going to say instead of 205, I adjust it to 225 pounds. I want you, for the next 2 minutes, when I say go, to send me any answers that you have of people that you think are 225 or less that have made an impact that wasn't strictly cruiserweight.
Okay, so we're taking a stab at their weights, basically, a little bit.
Yeah, because really, Wikipedia is just going to slow you down, to be perfectly honest. I mean, worst case is that you guess, I don't know, Bret the Hitman Hart, and I tell you that you're wrong.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. Okay. All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So... But I don't know any other way to do this fairly other than to have you guys message me on your phones, because otherwise everything else, you guys would be able to hear each other or see each other's answers.
Or, you know, we could have done, and it just, I don't know, it's fine doing it with phones, but we could do one and one so we can't steal each other's answers, but, you know, see how many we get right.
Gosh, I believe I have the Saw tattoo and you don't.
That's true. Never mind. Fair enough.
Thank you. Okay, so with that being said, I'm going to get the old clock going here, and I'm going to tell you in 15 seconds to begin.
You okay?
I'm actually already typing over here.
Oh, you're cheating!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh,
you have 2 minutes.
I had 3 names, and I lost them all now.
And while they're thinking, I'm going to provide some commentary. Seriously, WWE, I don't want to play a video game where I'm dressed up as Seth Rollins in a black hoodie trying to break a bunch of like memorable stuff and pretend I'm Bart Simpson breaking some statues. It's utterly ridiculous what you're doing. On top of that, how dare you not show the ending of the Heath Slater match? Like, why couldn't we have had that rematch on Raw? That's all I'm wondering. It really boggles the mind when you really sit down and think about that shit. And furthermore, why do we not have War Games in WWE? Oh, I know, because Vince McMahon's old and doesn't like WCW. Garbage. Bring it back. Bring sexiness back. We've had blood in 3 matches at Great Balls of Fire, yet no balls and no fire. But we had blood. Blood is cool. And I watched a movie on Amazon called Swamp Ape. I'm sure this is getting into both of their heads right now. It was one of the lowest budget things I've ever seen. At one point, the Swamp Ape had a sex toy for a genital. It was incredibly long for some absurd reason. I believe it's implied that there may have been some sexual things going on inside of a cage. It was very weird. Worse than a lot of stuff the Malarkey Show ever brought us. 10 seconds. Anyways, if you have Amazon Prime and you have nothing better to do and you're kind of suicidal, go watch Swamp Ape. And pencils down. Okay.
I have a decent list, but I don't know how many of them are actually 225 or below.
Well, me and Steve kind of talked about it, so I'm going by the list that him and I made and hoping for the best. Okay.
Am I supposed to send on this?
Yes, that'd be fantastic.
Okay, I just...
Yeah, you were supposed to already do it, cheater. You probably already put like 5 more on there since.
This coming from the guy that copies me every single... I mean, hey! All right. Ooh! All right, now you guys make conversation while I do my research.
Okay. All right, so Carrie, I have to ask you, what did you think of the Roman Reigns versus Braun ambulance match? Because I wanted to talk about this real quick.
So, just to start out, I didn't watch it live. I fell
asleep.
It's
okay, neither did I. Yep.
I thought it was a really good match. I enjoyed the ending more than the match itself.
Yes, you're talking about the after rolling into the... Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. I mean, that... Seriously, how does he get a title shot when he pretty much committed attempted murder?
He doesn't have the title shot yet. He doesn't have the title shot yet. But
it's inevitability, though. It really is.
I'll say this. I didn't think they could actually up the game when Braun tipped over the ambulance. But Roman did a good job there, smashing it into the back there. I thought that was pretty neat. I liked what they did there.
All I have to say is Braun is a badass. Most people would not walk away from that. They
exactly.
just wouldn't.
But, and Kent mentioned this too in the review, but they totally missed the biggest opportunity in the world when he walked away stumbling and he goes, "Roman, I'm not finished with you yet." I would have given that a 9.2 on the scale if he had said that as he was walking away, because that would have been the most fantastic thing ever. But they missed that opportunity, so it's a little shame. But yeah, I thought it was good. I was impressed. So Kent is looking really confused over there. It's scary. But while we're at it, Big Cass versus Enzo. Anything there while we're waiting for Kent?
That whole thing saddens me. And I think I mentioned this in the preview for Great Balls of Fire. I mean, we take a tag team who never won a title, over with the fans, let's break them up, have them feud. Even though...
And a lackluster feud, too, because...
Exactly.
He got his win. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
And not even that, but both of those two guys need each other in order to be relevant. That's what's even sadder about this whole situation.
Well, I thought they did a terrible job executing this. And then they brought Big Show in on Monday and made it even worse somehow. Because I was watching this thing and I'm just like, okay, Big Show, okay. He beat the crap out of Cass, and we're supposed to start thinking of Cass as a legitimate threat to the championship, and now he just looks like a total bitch. Yay, all right. That's what I got out of that. So, I don't know. They're burying him already.
He's, I think the word that was used was underwhelming.
Yes. What did you think of the match overall?
Wait, I just heard underwhelming. Are we talking about Cass's music?
We're talking about Cass
and Enzo, so you're fair on the right track. He is very underwhelming. He is. And Kent, feel free to stop us, because what we're talking about right now is total garbage. So, I mean, who cares about Enzo Cass?
Well, we have final tallies.
All right.
One of you got three right. And Carrie knows that's her. Carrie, you were right with Benoit, Kalisto, and Eddie.
Oh, I forgot about Kalisto.
Macho Man was jacked. And actually, Shelton Benjamin's 240-something. So, neither guy counts. Russ, you had Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerra?
Like, it's Guerra.
I don't understand that spelling, but it's G-U-E-R-R-A.
I don't know how to spell it.
Guerrero. Ends with an O.
No, you know what? I think I did with an O, and it changed it to an A. Whatever.
All right. So you got Mysterio, Eddie, Benoit, X-Pac. Road Dogg does not count.
Aw.
Jeff Hardy does.
I thought so.
Raven is somebody who I actually looked up prior to asking.
Okay.
And he does not count.
Damn, I thought he was close.
I also looked up CM Punk, and he does count.
Oh, okay.
Just Incredible also counts.
Nice.
Now, here's where Carrie failed herself. And I really wish to pick on Carrie here. Carrie, who's your favorite wrestler?
Finn Balor.
I didn't even think
about
it. He
weighs 190 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So... I'll read off the list that I had, not including Russ having a couple. HBK?
Really?
Yeah. He's only 6 foot.
I know, but I would have thought he was 250. Somewhere around there.
AJ Styles. Heath Slater. Jericho. Early Jericho.
Early, yeah.
I can't confirm Pillman. I never did. New Jack. Really disappointed nobody had New Jack.
I would have thought he was in the 250s.
No, he's a skinny Negro.
Oh.
Dean Malenko.
I should have thought that.
Dean Ambrose.
Really? Okay.
Uh-huh. And then you had Punk. Who was the other big guy at the same time, Russ? There was two stars being made that time.
Daniel Bryan,
yes. And who did Daniel Bryan just suspend? James Ellsworth.
Who's definitely.
Zach Gowen, who only had one leg.
Well, that's now why he was under 225.
I go from picking on Kerry to picking on Russ. Russ, whose abs do you love the most?
John Morrison's.
Yeah.
Really?
Way to miss that one.
I wouldn't have thought he was under 225. But to be fair, I was stuck, so.
Yeah, and Eddie Guerra.
Yeah, Eddie Guerra.
Cody the Cock Rhodes. Billy Kidman. And most importantly, Jamie Noble.
I was thinking about, what about our favorite duo in the bedroom with Paige?
I didn't look up Paige because she's not a man.
Xavier and Brad Maddox.
I didn't look him up. You could feel free to. I also didn't look up Breeze Dango. Like, yeah. Both of them could possibly... Edge and Christian were both too tall.
Yeah.
So, that was my fun little game that killed about 5 minutes. Both of you missed the mark on two of your all-time favorite wrestlers. I congratulate you both.
There's a lot to think about, though. So, I didn't even think of Finn at all. Like, there was a couple, like, I thought about one of the ones you said, and I thought he was too big. HBK, that was one. I was like, I think he's too big.
Well, I told you Bret Hart just to throw you off the HBK
size. Oh, it was good, too, because Bret Hart. I was like, okay, well, Bret Hart and HBK are basically the same size. So, all right. Yeah,
so that was our fun little game. Now let's get back to boring wrestling talk.
Oh, does that mean it's time for the Raw review, guys? Before we do
or like
that,
crap review.
Yeah. Well, before we do that, let's do one more fun thing and find out who Russ is crushing on this week. Russ, who is your man crush this week?
My man crush of the week. Okay, I'm going to have to tell you this. There's a runner-up this week because he did so close to doing awesome. The runner-up this week is actually going to be Tyler Breeze. I don't think I've had him yet, but man, when he told me he wears a bra because he's not a hippie, that tells me classy. Classy. All right? So, kudos to that man. All right? He wears a bra, and he's not ashamed to wear it. So, that's a classy man right there. So, he's my runner-up. My winner this week is because I didn't see wrestling last week, but damn, it's good to see him again. Rusev. He is a sexy Bulgarian man-beast. He looked great. I thought he looked really good in his shaved head and the beard and everything. He looked fantastic. Not shaved head, but you know what I mean. As Kent's looking at me like I said he was shaved.
Why does John Cena keep saying Bulgarian flag?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm sitting here I thought offended.
I thought it was a mistake at first, but then he said it like two times, didn't he?
Yeah, he said it multiple times, and I'm sure there's like a joke backstage to it, but... It's not that funny if we're not let in on the joke. Maybe explain it on Talking Smack or something.
Right, yeah, because it was a little weird. Because I heard him say it once. I was like, Matt, no, nah, that's a... Okay, maybe it was a mistake. And then he said it again. I was like, okay. But yeah.
By the way, Rusev and Kevin Owens is my favorite single wrestler combination tag team of like the past 5 years. Those guys have incredible chemistry, and they showcased that last year briefly. Really good team.
Yes. So Rusev is my man crush of the week, or my man machka of the week, as you would want to say.
Was that your Bulgarian accent?
That is my Bulgarian accent.
You Zodnik.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, guys.
That means asshole.
Wow. All right, let's get into Raw, shall we, guys? I mean,
Gardies and Tsitsis both mean breast.
I think I'd rather talk about Rusev crush.
I'm just saying, I know some Bulgarian, okay?
That's true.
I'm bringing a little Kenchkation here to the program.
It's nice. He did know a Bulgarian, too. Did you know that in college? That's where he got his Bulgarian from.
Yeah.
Carrie, you're supposed to stop us from doing this.
I'm trying. All right, let's talk Raw. Actually, let's talk booking. Pay-per-view versus Raw booking, match quality. It always seems like we see the same matches over and over again. The ones we see in the pay-per-view, we see on Raw. And the ones on Raw, or SmackDown for that matter, are sometimes better. Why is that, guys? Do you... Enlighten me. Russ?
I have no idea. I'm assuming you're going to be talking about the Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins, because the match on the pay-per-view was just... Whatever. I wouldn't say it was terrible, but it was nowhere near good. And then, like, okay, so I thought it was probably just a throwaway match, whatever. It was terrible, whatever, move on. And then they put him back on again on Monday, so I'm thinking, like, okay, this is going to be a garbage heap again. But Monday's match, even though there's commercial breaks in it, was still way better than the pay-per-view match. How does that make any sense to anybody to make your Raw match better than the pay-per-view? The one where you're making money instead of giving it away on free TV. I mean, because the pay-per-view match was terrible. I don't want to say terrible, but compared to the match on Raw, it was terrible. So, I honestly, it makes no sense to me. If I'm going to be paying for the pay-per-view, I want to see good matches on the pay-per-view. And you can sometimes give me good matches on Raw, but give me... I don't expect to have the same match two nights in a row and the second night on Raw better.
Good point. Kent, why do you think that is? I mean, this isn't the first time that this has happened.
Well, I think that it happened because Elias Samson didn't get to have his match on the pay-per-view. Had he had his match on the pay-per-view, we could have seen a better match on Monday Night Raw. Finn Balor's continually underperforming for me right now. Seth Rollins continually underperforming for me on Raw. What's going on here? I don't know. But at least we got Goldust and R-Truth in a match. And we didn't get the pay-per-view. I think that a rematch of the Hardy Boys versus the Bar would have been asking a tad much for another 30-minute match.
Yep.
Let's face it, they got to kill time. That's all there is to it. Like, they come up with one match Sunday, then they come up with the same match on Monday, and they're like, how do we differentiate it?
Make one bad, make one good?
Right, and like, the pay-per-view always draws the short straw. Simple as that. I don't really have an explanation other than that. Like, it's a weird phenomena. Everybody kind of acknowledges that it happens. I don't know.
I want to go off on a quick tangent Kent brought up. Yeah, I don't...
I brought up a tangent?
You did, and I want to talk about it real quick. You talked about underperforming. Doesn't it seem ever since... Even I don't want to say the brand split, but even before just the brand split, even with the brand split, doesn't it seem like almost all the guys, except for a very few handful, are underperforming? Like, when I hear names like Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, Finn Balor, Dean Ambrose, The Miz, just to name five, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get a match that's quality, right? And yet, in the last several months, they've had hit or miss, and we're talking big-time hit or miss. Sometimes it's good when they were all five together. That was great. Samoa Joe hasn't been underperforming, but he's getting screwed anyway. But it just seems like a lot of these guys are underperforming, and it doesn't make any sense that now that they're brand split, it should be there should be guys starting to go to the top. And it we have like one or two shining stars, and the rest is like meh, whatever. Doesn't it seem like that?
I thought the shining stars were on SmackDown.
Well, they're gone too now. Or they're going to get released at one point soon.
One of them's hurt, apparently.
Yes. But you know what I mean.
yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And the solution to that is to turn Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman face.
And change all the other guys to heel or something.
Dean Ambrose has to turn heel. Big Cass just turned heel. Now we've made some more interesting matchups. Bullet Club down the road. There's
another group right there. Bullet Club. Holy crap. Talk about underperforming. Just, ugh.
It's true.
I just feel so bad because, like, these guys, I've seen them put on matches, like, match of the year caliber stuff. And it just doesn't seem like any of that's happening at all. Like, unless you get AJ. AJ is about the only exception to this rule. If there's a match with AJ in it, then you're guaranteed good. Everyone else, it's like hit or miss. It's terrible.
Well, do you guys think it's... I mean, we're frustrated as fans. Do you think they might be frustrated as well? Like, they're getting the same booking week after week, and maybe they're just like, oh, really? This again? Really, guys? Come on now. Maybe it's just frustration on some of the parts.
Yeah, but... I mean, when we're getting the same matchup from January and it's July, the other month that begins with a J and ends with a Y, there's something seriously wrong with the writing. Isn't there?
It's got to be something. I don't know. I just don't feel like... When I was watching the pay-per-view on Sunday, Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins, which I should have been like, oh, going to be a sweet match. I wasn't excited for it at all. And then I watched it, and I was very underwhelmed.
Was that the main event on Raw as well?
Yes, it was the main event for Raw.
Okay. So, like, I was watching Raw, and I knew the match. I acknowledged the match was on. I would occasionally look, and I was reading. And then the match was over. I'm like, okay, I wonder what the main event is. And then it
that was
went
it.
To, I don't know, what the fuck, Modern Family or some shit.
Oh,
and I was
right.
just like... The fuck just happened? That was it. Like, that was their big main event. And
the match lasted about 20 minutes. So
I don't understand. They haven't given us a purpose why these two men are fighting. By the way, I sent you a picture. It may look like I'm about ready to pile drive or sexually assault the Bulgarian.
Yes.
I felt that was worthy of
your... I know. I was trying to make it bigger so I could see it.
Just rub it.
Oh, right. There. Oh, look, it worked. There it goes.
Go on.
What are you doing to her?
I'm really not sure, but I've clearly...
Because I can tell you what it looks like.
Yeah, I can tell you what it looks like, too. I'm about ready to give her the pile driver.
Yes. Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that what you call it?
Yeah, I guess.
Do you not have a name for it?
No, I guess.
Do you have a different name in Bulgaria?
All right.
Let's move on to, I guess, the Universal title picture. We had Roman basically ask for a title shot this week. Joe basically saying no. And where's Braun in all this? I'd like to get your guys' thoughts on, well, all of this. Kent, let's start with you.
Braun is bleeding. So he's getting a blood transfusion. Possibly from Drew Bledsoe much. He needed a blood transfusion. We don't know. But what we do know is that in WWE, you can go and you can fling yourself headfirst into an ambulance and lose your match, and the very next night say, I want to be in the main event of the second biggest show of the year, and I also want to go for some red belt that's for some space program. And everybody's just completely cool with the fact that I tried to commit homicide. Everybody's just completely cool with this fucking rationale. Oh, and let's keep in mind, he's the good guy. This is why Braun Strowman right now is the number one face on Raw. Probably number two overall. I think AJ's more popular. I think Braun's probably number two in the whole company, though. Pull the trigger. Not literally, not figuratively, but somewhere in between there. Pull it. It's absurd. We're rewarding bad behavior. What example are we setting for the children that are sitting there going, Mommy, why is Killer Roman over there? He's causing accidents backstage and trying to kill a man. Why is he getting the belt? What's a parent supposed to do? Russ, you tell me you're a parent.
After we tell him wrestling is fake, don't believe any of it.
Say what?
I know. It's hard to say, but wrestling is fake. Don't watch. Don't read into any of the stupidity.
It's still real to me, damn it.
It's real to me, too. When Roman backed that... ambulance and slam.
Back that ass up?
Yeah, back the ambulance up. And slammed Braun into that. It was real for me. I was scared for Braun. But when Braun walked out, I was like, holy crap, he's the greatest thing ever.
So, was that a spear attempt by Roman into the ambulance?
Yes.
Or was that like a Superman dive?
No, it was a spear attempt. It was really well done, because Braun was injured by the door being slammed into his face. But instead of falling to the side, he falls on front of the stuff. So Roman's getting ready for the spear, getting all that hype up for the spear. And then Braun totally treated him like a bitch.
Wow. You could have just said something funny about a cape and we could have had a good time, but you took everything way too seriously again, Ross.
Yes, yes, I did. Because it was awesome. I thought that was a really good way of ending the match.
Also, no capes.
But he's Superman.
Dot, dot, dot.
Dive.
So.
Back-to-back podcast, I've made that joke.
So, all right. We were talking about something. We were talking about
Big Cass and Connor in a wet t-shirt contest and who would win. Yes.
No, I don't believe that was it. But clearly I think Connor's got that one. He's got the jigglies.
Actually, we were talking about Roman demanding.
Oh, right. Roman demanding a universal title. Yeah. Okay. Listen, I love Samoa Joe.
Oh, another matchup we've never seen before. A fresh matchup.
So, I love how the two losers of the pay-per-view last night came out and basically said, hey, we deserve the title shot. They both lost. And they're the ones that deserve the title shot. And what does WWE do? Gives them the number one contendership shot for it. Kudos,
but
WWE.
Russ,
kudos.
Who should they give it to? If you look at the winners, should they give it to
Bray?
Sasha Banks?
Well, no.
Should they give it to Heath Slater?
Yes.
Heath Slater versus Brock Lesnar, that's your SummerSlam main event? Yeah.
That would be a main event worthy of... He's got kids, Kat. He needs a main event. He's got kids.
Do you give it to Cesaro?
Well, you can't because of their tag team gold.
Okay. Do you give it to Neville?
No, he's on another level.
Fair enough. Do you give it to Bray?
Yes. Yes, he won his match.
So what you're saying is that maybe the WWE should have said, well, we have no storyline for Seth versus Bray. Maybe we could make this for the number one contendership, and you could have done something.
You mean they could have done that? Get out of here, Ken, because I think that's what we were thinking last week at some point. Make it worth something. But instead, no.
That sounds logical, too.
Well, no, because clearly the two guys who lost their matches definitely should get another shot at it. Absolutely. Makes perfect sense.
All right. Let's talk about something that actually does make sense. Let's talk about the tag team division on Raw. Things actually went well this week. I mean, the Hardys they lost their Iron Man match to Cesaro at the pay-per-view. They got beat up by Gallows and Anderson, and then, well, they got beat up again by a returning Revival.
They went hard.
Yeah, they went hard. All in all, really good week for the tag team division on Raw. What do you think, Kent?
I think that you both went hard before I went hard. And now that we're all hard, I think it's interesting that three of the four people in that tag team match are not considered good workers at this point. I mean, really, Cesaro's the only one that's considered a really good worker at this point in their career. Sheamus can go, but he's not he's Sheamus. He is what he is. Yet they delivered on a 30-minute match. And I was so proud in a weird way of the Hardy Boys for going out and helping make Gallows and Anderson look like $1 million the night after. And then doing what we have all collectively been wanting, to get their asses handed to them by the Revival. Hard. It was a really good week. And the only thing that's bothering me is this insistence to try to bring back these broken characters. Do you really think the fans want them? Want the characters back? Because I don't know if anybody else is paying attention. Yeah, you can hear the chants, but they're about as loud as the CM Punk chants, which tells you that's about like 30 guys with neck beards and shit that are chanting it, and nobody else gives a fuck. Should this really be a thing? Like,
why can't they just come up with different characters?
Oh yeah, like they're gonna come up with a third set of characters, and they're gonna be successful.
Why not?
Oh wait. Jeff was also Willow at one point in TNA.
And that was terrible.
And it was bad.
That was
so
terrible.
Bad.
I didn't have to watch TNA to know that was bad.
So yeah, creating more characters. No, Russ, that, I mean, we've already had version 1 and version 2.
Version
Matt.
2 was Matt. It was awesome. All right.
I mean, how many more characters do you want? They're not Charles Wright with Papa Shango, Goodfather, Godfather, comma the Fighting Machine.
They're not Chris Jericho, who returns every time with a different gimmick almost and is almost always successful.
There you go. There's your answer.
Yeah, but Jericho's on another level.
Is it the Neville level, though?
No, the Jericho level. Drink it in, man. So, Russ,
and Kit's gonna drink it in.
What did you think this week, Russ, about the tag team division?
That tasted pretty good.
Well, it's red teeny. Should. So I thought that the definitely was a good week in tag team matches. I liked that the Hardys lost to Gallows and Anderson. They needed that loss. It was kind of like a respect thing after they took the belts from them at Mania without actually pinning them or anything. So that was a nice little respect thing. I liked that the match was really good, and I liked that it was good because it really helps. I think that's going to really help Cesaro. They needed something.
In their future feud against who?
Don't ruin it, okay?
Oh, I'm just asking, who are they feuding with next, Russ? Because they just got that huge push, and it was a really good push. Right out the door, right into the loving arms of what face tag team?
Yeah, I don't know. Heath Slater and Rhino?
Oh. Cracker Club.
I was just thinking about that. Who is a face Raw tag team?
The Cracker Club and the Hardy Boys. They broke up Enzo and Cass. They had three.
So that was the stupidest thing they could have done. Hey, we have all these heel tag teams that are awesome. Let's get rid of the one face team that probably could have done something because the fans love them for some reason.
In Brooklyn? What?
Oh, man. All right, so you're right. So this amazing push is going to go to waste because there's nobody to feud with now. You're right. Okay, so now they're going to be stuck in limbo unless for some reason they treat them like a tweener team and then go against some of the heels.
Steve and I was talking about the possibility of Revival versus Cesaro, except the Revival haven't done anything on the main roster to warrant a tag title match. But we're also talking about Raw here, where you don't anything.
Right, Roman Reigns deserves his title shot because he lost his ambulance match.
Something else we discussed, is there a possibility that WWE's starting to tweet to tease the Bullet Club? Notice how Finn's been kind of hanging out more with the Hardys. Maybe we get Hardys versus Gallows and Anderson.
Ooh.
They keep mentioning that Jeff Hardy's is like Finn's kid's favorite wrestler or whatever.
Yep.
You know who I've done. Is it possible that this is leading to a Bullet Club, Balor Club thing? Or am I overthinking things?
Well, you're probably overthinking things, but since it would be nice that would actually happen.
Who's going to be the antagonist?
Well, it'd be Finn Balor and Bullet Club, or Balor Club.
Yeah, and who's going to be the protagonist?
Well, it would have to be Jeff and Matt Hardy.
And who's going to die from a very tall fall?
No clue. Nah, you're going to be fine. Oh, man. All right, so yeah, the tag team division looked good this week, but yeah, Kent, going forward, SummerSlam, there's nothing for the Cesaro. So what's the bar going to do?
Me and Steve had an idea. And this is the best idea we have to offer. What if SummerSlam was just fatal four-way fuckery the whole night? it would solve all the issues, because if you think about it, there's no clear direction in the women's division. So you put Nia, Bliss, Sasha, Bayley, there you go. Tag team division, well, we just talked about four teams, leave the Cracker Club out. The Roman, Braun, Joe, Brock match. See how this works on every level so far? Oh, Seth, Dean, Miz, Bray. Okay, there's your Intercontinental Championship match. And the Cruiserweight, nobody gives a fuck. Just throw four guys in there.
What about Dean? What about Dean, Elias, and two other people that I can't think of at the moment?
Finn Balor.
Finn. Okay, so Dean, Elias, Finn.
And Heath Slater?
Sure. Because at least the three of them have something to go in with each other.
Sexually.
Yes. I guess you could throw the Miz in that if you really wanted to. Sexually.
As long as Bo Dallas is wearing just one glove, I'm okay with it. Whatever, man. But doesn't the four-way thing solve all of the issues on Raw for SummerSlam?
Yes. Yes.
Like, it buys them a month to figure out where they go after SummerSlam. It just buys them time to hit the reset button.
That's not a bad idea, actually. And it'd be interesting matches. And you'd get everybody on, and you'd still have enough time for SmackDown matches. So it works.
Yeah, I know. I'm a genie in a bottle.
I'm not going to rub you the right way.
Rub me the left way, then.
All right, that's what I'll do. All right, Carrie, here's your chance. Quick.
Speaking of questions.
Oh, you're not going to rub me?
No. What do you think this big reveal is going to be next week for Kurt Angle? So, or in other words, what's Kurt... It's angle.
Yes, what's Kurt's angle?
Russ, what do you think?
All right, do you want my serious attempt or just the most ridiculous, stupid thing I could think of?
Why not both?
All right, I'll give my serious one first. So my serious one here it is. This is what I honestly think it might be. I think it has something to do with Stephanie McMahon. I'm not sure what it will involve, because if you remember way back in the day when before Kurt left, they used to do an angle with Triple H, Steph, and Kurt. A little love triangle sort of kind of thing going there. Not exactly ever came to anything to fruition with it. But it would be interesting to kind of go back to that a little bit, maybe. Stir the pot for a Kurt Angle versus Triple H at some point down the road, maybe. Other than that, I think it has something to do with Steph. I'm just not sure what.
Possibility. My theory is that just because she showed up in his 24 documentary, I'm thinking it has something to do with Dixie Carter. But that's just me. Kent, what do you think?
I think you just took the wind out of my goddamn sails.
Yeah, Dixie Carter was the other one. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we are hearkening back 17 years ago, Rock versus Kurt versus Triple H did main event SummerSlam. 2000. With that being said, here's the real thing that's going to happen. I have this on very good authority. And no, it's not that Kurt and Triple H are gay lovers and therefore ruining each other's marriages. No.
That would have been great. Talking to Triple H on the phone, I love you.
No, Russ, this is going to get much more indignant than anything you could possibly imagine. So, what we're going to find out is that Kurt Angle cheated on his wife with Charlie Haas's wife, Jackie Gayda. Did you ever wonder why Jackie Gayda and a certain Kurt wrestler have very similar last names? Wonder no longer. Jackie Gayda and Kurt Angle had Chad Gable. To go even further, though, we then come to find out when Kurt Angle and Booker T were in the Millionaire Club, or no, the Main Event Mafia, that's right, in TNA, well, Kurt Angle had a little something for a little brown sugar, him and Charmel hooked up, and out came Jason Jordan. And that's what we're going to find out, is that Kurt Angle is the proud daddy of American Alpha. And there's our new face tag team on Raw, because he's just going to be like, hey, Daniel, you guys aren't using these guys. You dressed them in orange on Independence Day. So can we just have him? And Daniel's going to be like, I'm a vegan. And that's response. How the story's going to play.
Great response right there. I'm a vegan. Oh. My only question is this. Are Chad and Jason, like, they grow up really fast or something? Because they're only giving us 17 years.
What does 17 years have anything to do with
it? I'm pretty sure Chad Gable and Jason are a lot older than 17.
Where are you getting the number 17 from?
Because 2000 is when Kurt and all that stuff happened. That was before anything that happened with Charmel or...
Well, this has nothing to do with Triple H and Kurt and Steph. I didn't say anything about them. This all happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So this shit's going down, okay?
Watch you nail it. It's exactly what you said.
Oh.
Comes out and goes, Chad Gable is my son. What?
I'm now officially going to look up how old Jackie Gata is just for our purposes.
Oh, man. So, Carrie, what do you think? What do you think is going to be the big reveal?
Oh, I still think it's Dixie Carter.
You still think it's going to be Dixie Carter? Okay, oh, yeah. So what's your crazy thought? Anything? Because Dixie Carter could happen.
I don't know. I can't think of anything completely just like out of left field that it could be.
It's. I hope
neither
it's
could we.
Yeah. That's why we're, you know, we're hitting the facts and only the facts. Like Chad Gable is definitely Kurt Angle's son.
Is it possible to get impregnated at the age of 5?
No.
So Kurt Angle's a child molester. Oh shit!
And we hit a new low.
well, we're still low.
Let's keep going with it.
No, I was thinking we could take a quick news break and discuss something even.
Not more. Yet. I have my crazy idea. All right.
Oh,
so
go
hear
ahead.
Me out.
Go with your have a crazy right. idea.
Here's what I think is going to happen.
I haven't even gone for a crazy idea yet.
Oh, that was just a tame one. Oh, okay. So here's what I'm thinking. I think what's going to happen on Monday is that Kurt Angle has the video of Brad Maddox and Xavier Woods.
I really hate you right now because you're stealing what I was going with.
And Paige. But it's not the original that we've all seen. No, it's another one. But this time, they're including Big E on the train. And they're also going to be including... Oh, I don't know. Let's throw in Roman Reigns for the hell of it. Why not, right?
Who's going to be wetter, Paige or Roman's hair?
Well, Roman's hair is clearly going to be much wetter. I mean, have you ever seen it dry?
Never.
Ever, exactly. So,
well, so, fortunately, you didn't steal my entire idea, Russ, okay. So I'm happy.
Go ahead.
There's just going to be a sex tape with Kurt Angle and Paige, and he's just going to say, who's your daddy a lot?
Or maybe it is a sex tape with those two, and Alberto busts in during it.
Can he be wearing the bear costume that the Miz had, like, from a month ago?
Yes!
Alberto the bear.
He'll come in as the bear, right? And he has a gift.
Right.
Oh my goodness, yeah, it's perfect.
Could Rusev come in waving the Bulgarian flag while we're at it?
If he doesn't...
Or was he injured at the time?
If it doesn't, then it makes no sense, Kent. This thing has got to be a video worthy of ruining Kurt. So the reason it ruins Kurt, it's not because he's with Paige. It ruins Kurt because...
He was with a bear?
The bear. He doesn't... He doesn't.
Is Goldust film operator filming all of this?
Of course. Goldust's film operator's operating it. That's how the leak started. So Kurt
My
was,
God, we have Raw planned out.
For years.
If they just listen to this and go with our ideas, they will have hit on the greatest angle,
Kurt,
that they've ever landed on.
I can't see it going wrong because there's so many things you can go off of this with. So the Miz will get mad that his bear suit was used during this whole thing.
Totally pissed.
Exactly. That's going to bring him in on this. I mean, you got the entire roster now that you can get in on this.
Well, Bo Dallas get pissed off for Miz, which causes Bray to burn down Bo's sister's house with her inside of it?
Didn't that already happen?
No. Bray never set it on fire.
And also, how does Corey Graves fit into all of this?
I don't know. He has the worst hair, though. Doesn't he?
His suits are fantastic, though.
I agree, but his hair is awful.
Corey Graves knows people. He knows Paige. He's like Paige's bitch best friend. So she's telling him all about this. That's what it is.
But who does Corey know in the higher up? Like, he's had security footage, and now he has this juicy angle. And I just wondering, like, who's feeding him all of these news tidbits? Hornswoggle. That's who.
The illegitimate son of Raw GM. Mr. McMahon. He's also, so mad that he's never going to get any part of the... He's mad that he's never going to get a part of the share of the company. So he's turning to Corey Graves. Yes!
And Hornswoggle could come out and look at Stephanie and call her tits circus boobs. And that's the overtime segment. And Triple H comes up, pedigrees Hornswoggle, and then agrees with him.
Right. She really does have circus tits. Yes. Or, I'm sorry. She really has circus tits.
God, we just made the greatest Raw that will never happen.
I would watch the shit out of that.
I would record that, pay $100 on Blu-ray. I don't care. That'd be the greatest night of wrestling ever.
Oh, man.
So, Kerry, we didn't go off on any tangents there. You're doing a great job.
None. That was good for keeping us on. Yeah, we kept on that one.
You know, I think that was a good tangent to go off on, because I think it's going to lighten the mood before we completely just dash the mood with our next topic.
Dash Wilder?
No. Let's talk about the big news story of the week with Del Rio and Paige.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, just to catch everyone up, Del Rio, there was a domestic abuse incident at Orlando International Airport involving Paige, a thrown drink. Del Rio's now suspended from GFW.
A week after becoming their inaugural champ.
Yeah,
everyone on the internet saying that was a smart move.
I'm pretty sure Kent said it before that all popped out, so kudos to Kent.
So let's go ahead and just get into this and discuss it. I want to get both of your thoughts first before I say my piece, because my piece is a little different than what I've actually already said in the blog. So, Russ, let's start with you.
Okay, so we've been discussing this, well, we're the ones that have been keeping this dead horse alive, and it's come back now, so we've been discussing this for a long time, and we discussed this last week, that we were really sure that this is not going to end well for Paige, and it's looking like, I thought for sure we had a couple of months before we heard anything like this, but like literally 3 days later, we get the story about the domestic violence crap, and I'm just like, it's happening so fast. Isn't it obvious to, like, it's so obvious to us, three people who have nothing to do with this, don't know Del Rio or Paige to save our lives other than what we've seen on television. And yet we can see this a mile away. How does not but anybody close trying to stop this? Seriously. I mean, it's going to end horribly, or it's finally ended. Now, again, I didn't see the Paige tweet on Monday. Do you want to enlighten me on that one?
Okay, basically what she said was that there was a lady, the one who actually recorded the audio of Paige and Del Rio arguing, saying that she was trying to take photos of them, and they called the cops because of her, because she threw the drink at Del Rio. Well, basically the audio that was released to TMZ basically said that tweet was a lie. And then Paige comes out today with another statement on Facebook or Twitter saying, no, it was me that the cops were called on. The cops were there to investigate me. Alberto did nothing wrong, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God.
At this point, and this is why I've completely changed my stance on the blog from what I said on the blog at 90s.com/wrestling about this whole ordeal is that girl is so far gone that at this point, usually I sympathize with the woman in this case. She is bringing this on herself almost. And that's almost shameful, and I probably will get stoned by every woman out there for even suggesting it. But that chick is dumb. Why would you even post that unless he wrote it himself and made her post it? There's just so many different things in here where I'm almost to the point where I say these two deserve each other.
See, there was one point back a long time ago that made me think this was a very, very, very toxic relationship. It's when I believe somebody close to Paige was basically telling her, get the hell away from Alberto. But she wouldn't because they're in love and they're blah, blah, blah. Oh, and that made me think, like, yeah, this is gonna only end in one way. Really, really bad for Paige, some way or somehow. And now I it's inevitable. If she's defending him after this, yeah, this is gonna be bad. Really bad.
Kent, what's your thoughts on this?
I'm not sure that Paige is the victim here anymore. On top of what she posted, the lady who recorded it also made mention some conversation to the extent of Paige yelling at Alberto for being high on coke for the past 2 days and him saying, you're the one that's in possession of it. And I know we always jump the gun, especially here in America, that you hear domestic abuse and you automatically jump the gun saying that's the dude that's abusing the girl. There are some crazy psycho bitches out there, many of whom have known me. Now, Alberto does still strike me as a guy that probably is an abusive guy. But I don't think it's out of the question that Paige could be just as batshit crazy and mean. Remember the household setting that she grew up in where probably nobody took any guff from anybody? Like, I think I feel that we're kind of painting Paige as almost a vulnerable creature here.
Oh no.
She may not be that vulnerable. I think they're both tangling and both, I don't know, they both kind of like the drama. And yet, with that being said, I will say that by the end of this month, they will have broken up.
Completely for good.
Completely for good.
You,
my honor is on the line.
Not only your honor, I want to put a bet on this. Let's put a stupid bet on it, though.
All right, what do you got, Russ?
All right. Kent, this is going to be perfect. I think if they don't break up within 30 days, so they have to break up within 30 days. If they do not, from today, or do you want to wait?
Oh, I said at the end of the month.
Oh, at the end of this month. So July 31st? Yes, July 31st.
Yeah.
Okay. If they do not break up by the end of, by July 31st, you have to 100% be positive on the blog and the podcast about the week's Raw and SmackDown and any pay-per-view that's close to it. You have to be positive. And I'm not saying, you know, fake it like we, it's so great. I mean, I want you positive, like, go, go, Raw.
Is that me every week?
Oh, yeah, it is. But I want...
I think they're going to be broken up by the end of this month. I'm not going back on this claim. I will accept that challenge.
All right, nice. Okay, so July 31st, counting down, Paige and Del Rio.
Yeah, then Wom's definitely getting arrested for drugs as well.
Oh, absolutely. And to your point, you said that we're painting Paige as innocent. I don't want to say Paige is innocent because she's, how old is she?
She's 20-something. The big thing why she's getting painted as so innocent, though, is because of the whole Brad Maddox thing as well. Brad Maddox completely fucked her over, as far as we know. That's been the how it's been portrayed. So she already has the past going for her. Plus, we already know Del Rio's a hothead. So we already have these preconceived notions.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't see her as a victim. I see her as someone who's making really, really dumb decisions based off of her age. And she's one of those girls that just, like, is... Like, she gets really obsessed with things, I think, it seems like to me. Like, she's really obsessed with El Del Rio, and she loves him for whatever reason. She's fiery, passionate, but he's also a douchebag, and she doesn't see the douchebag part.
Well, he is kind of like the antithesis of a Brit. I mean, if you consider everything we know about British dudes, I mean, they're all basically James Bond. So Del Rio's very, very different in that regard. It's, there's also a high percentage that Paige is one of those girls that can't live a happy life. They always have to be embroiled in drama on social media. We all have that friends that are like that, where every last little thing that happened, oh my god, I broke a nail, and there's three fucking posts about it, and then they heard about this person who heard about this, and they are talking shit, and do not do that to it. Like, I think Paige could be one of those people.
Could be.
What are you laughing about, Russ? You're one of those people, you jerk.
It's true, I am.
All right, let's move on.
I have a question. If Chris Benoit comes back from the dead and prevents Del Rio from killing Paige, does Benoit make the Hall of Fame?
Yes, he's a hero.
Okay.
And really, really just quickly, we need to have every week now Paige and Del Rio. I mean, we probably were going to have it anyway. Who are we kidding? But Paige and Del Rio check until the end of the month. See if they're still together.
I'm noting that on my agenda right now. All right. Let's move on to SmackDown, guys. Enough about those two. I think they've gotten enough of our attention for 1 week. Actually, for an entire lifetime. But anyways, before we cover SmackDown and the things that went on there, Kent, what's grinding your gears this week?
Well, Carrie, I am so glad that you asked me what's really grinding my gears as I'm looking around the room to figure out what's grinding my gears this week. But truth be told, this has just been a fabulous week. As the beacon of positivity here, I have nothing negative to say. We just had a great pay-per-view. One of the all-time greats. On SmackDown, we heard of a new, brand new, first ever historic match that we've never seen before. Did anybody watch that boxing match? A couple weeks ago, there was the boxing match with Manny Pacquiao. Yeah, that whole thing was really rigged and really fucked up. And Manny Pacquiao lost despite overwhelming evidence based on every kind of scoring possible that he not only won, like he killed the dude basically, but he still lost the championship. And to me, what really grinds my gears is that I love a show on ESPN called Highly Questionable, and for some reason PSV would not play it today. So for that, ESPN, you are what grinds my gears today. Thank you.
Fair enough. All right, let's dive into SmackDown, guys, and talk about the United States title change. So there was a live show this past weekend in New York at Madison Square Garden where Kevin Owens and AJ Styles faced off, and AJ won the United States title. Off TV, not a pay-per-view. We're never going to see the match that took place other than highlights. I mean, it's about, my feelings are, this is about par with what we're getting from WWE lately. We're getting pay-per-view quality matches on Raw quality matches on pay-per-views. Russ, what do you think?
Well, I would have liked to see the match because it's Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, and they're both really good. So that probably would have been a great match to see. But there is something to be said where title changes get or title changes happen at live events, because what's the point of going to a live event if nothing's going to happen? You know nothing's going to happen, because we all know WWE is not 100% real. I mean, it is mostly, but not always. They sometimes choose who's going to win the victors. So if you know ahead of time that no belt's going to change because it's a house show, why go to the house show? So it's nice that they kind of did that direction with it. They're like, holy crap, if I had gone to that, I would have seen AJ Styles beat Kevin Owens for the belt. And they kept it changed, which is, I guess, kudos to them. And it doesn't really change Battleground, because now it's just Kevin Owens getting his title shot back at Battleground. So who knows what's going to happen. I'm assuming AJ's going to retain. It doesn't make sense to give him the belt for a month and that's it. But who knows? We'll see.
And Kent, what are your thoughts?
So I just sent you both a picture of what really grinded my gears this week.
So all I see is Bulgaria.
Nope, on your phone, Russ.
Oh, okay.
Via Facebook. So going back to my segment that I just half-assedly did. I ordered these Starbucks double shots from Amazon, and everything was awfully sticky in the box. Some of it was like hard plastic stuff that I could just rinse off. No big deal. But this thing I'd been kind of holding off on opening. But I opened it yesterday. And I was like, well, if I just rinse off the cans, clean them off, everything should be good. Maybe like just one of the cans had, you know, got busted. It happens every once in a while. So it wasn't a big deal. Just rinse them off. I got 6 cans into the 12-pack, and then I saw that. And it was horrific, to say the very least. To which I was like, nope. Even I don't care how clean these cans are, I'm not doing it. Because that's a lot of fucking mold, fungus, I don't know what the fuck it is, but downright disgusting. And that's what really grinds my gears this week.
I would return that. That is disgusting.
They already sent me a replacement 12-pack.
Oh, that's good. It's not Amazon's June. Version. It's not June. I was about to say, it's not June anymore, so.
Right. Yeah, so that was foul. As for the question, I don't mind when they do a title change at a live event, but if they're going to do it, record the whole thing and put it on the WWE Network. I mean, it's not like it's a surprise. It's not like the writer's like, holy shit, AJ Styles just won the belt. No, they wrote that. You see, so like they already have the knowledge beforehand to get some cameras out there, record the match, and then show it on the network. That's what's really kind of pisses me off a little bit with that. I'm okay with title changes. They should happen more often at live shows, because when you go to a live show and it's just a live show, do you ever expect a title change? No. This kind of keeps things, you know, a little suspenseful. But these live event title changes only happen in, like, big-time places like MSG. I think AJ Styles deserves a title. But I feel that Kevin Owens needs the title more right now. AJ Styles doesn't need the title. Like, AJ Styles is just so good that he doesn't need it, whereas I don't know where Kevin Owens goes from here. Unless they're going to, you know, turn off the fucking Jinder Mahal show at some point. Even when that happens, probably Baron's going to cash right in. So this kind of leaves KO like out in the cold, I guess. I don't know. I kind of feel weird because KO's easily one of the top 10, if not top 5, performers.
And that's what's really grinding Kent's gears.
There's a lot of gear grinding this week. But along the lines with, you know, AJ Styles and bringing back the... Well, trying to bring back the open challenge and Cena answering that first open challenge. Do you guys think it's a great idea to bring that back? I mean, me personally, I liked the U.S. Open Challenge when Cena was doing it, and I think AJ could do just as well with that and also bring the attention back to the title that it kind of had when Cena had it and then lost it after Cena lost it. Kent, what do you think?
I think that there's one problem with the U.S. Open Challenge. It worked when Cena did it. Not because it was Cena, but because they had the full roster to work with. Now SmackDown has, you know, 40 to 45% of the roster. So that challenge is going to feature a lot of repeats. Unless they decide to start going with face versus face, heel versus heel. Then you can keep that shit going, which is what they did with the Cena. I mean, Cena faced just as many faces as he did heels. But they have to be willing to really explore all possibilities. You know, Ty Dillinger versus AJ. Sin Cara versus AJ. Really explore all possibilities. I want to see Fandango versus, you know, AJ. If they're willing to really explore it and then end it with Connor in a wet white t-shirt wearing the U.S. Championship, I am completely okay with it. They have to commit to it. Just like Connor committed to gaining 50 pounds over the past year.
Hey, free food's free food.
Hey, as I think we've said before on this podcast, the catering for WWE is really good.
It's a perk of the show. Definitely a perk. I agree with Kent, I think, on that. I think it would be, as long as they do commit it, not just have the same four guys go after it, you know, I think it could work, especially with AJ. But you can't have it just be like KO answering it, John Cena answering it, Shinsuke answering it, oh, John Cena again. You know, there's a bunch of guys who are younger that could use a good match against AJ. They're going to lose, sure. But there's a lot of younger guys that could use a great match against AJ to get them on the map. And AJ's the guy to do it.
Very.
I think, you know, any of the New Day against AJ would also be a good match.
Mm.
Especially Kofi. Kofi versus AJ just seems like a great match.
It seemed like they'd have chemistry.
Speaking of Ty, let's talk about him quickly, why don't we, guys? I mean, he had a match against Jinder this week, and then in the previous episode, he was one of the final three. What direction do you think he's going in here, guys? Do you think that the company has faith in him, and then that's why they're putting him in these kind of front and center positions, or are we just getting our hopes up? Russ, what do you think?
Oh, totally and 100% getting our hopes up. There's absolutely nothing in these matches. First of all, was the match even a title match last night, or was it just a match?
Why, it was just a match.
Okay, so he lost cleanly to just a match. That doesn't speak well. It just means that Jinder needed an opponent to squash, and Ty was the guy. Now, sometimes that can be good because they went to Ty because they know Ty's good to have on the match. So they went to Ty. So I guess that's kind of good. At least he's out there doing something. But I just have a feeling like they're not fully invested in him. He's got a chance. He's got every piece there. He just needs to get the time in. So I guess the match is good to get him under his belt a little bit. But I think they're just getting our hopes up. I don't think anything's going to happen of it.
Kent?
If I may be so bold as to play devil's advocate for a moment here.
It's a great pinball game.
It's also a great movie. Russ, what makes Ty so great? He has a shitty gimmick where he holds out all five fingers on both of his hands and flashes the 10 sign. I mean, really, what great moves does he have? What great promos does he have? What's so great and deserving of Ty Dillinger getting a push?
Well, he has the pieces there. He's not a fully molded character yet. He needs the work. He needs to get out there. Like you said, yes, he doesn't really. He has a couple of moves that are decent. He definitely needs more move in his move set. I will agree with you on that. But that's what he needs to be out there on having matches for. I'm okay with him losing matches if he's out there showcasing. He kind of showcased a little bit, but not much. He still got beat by Gender pretty badly. He did showcase on the Battle Royal, from what I could tell, pretty decently. But again, he needs that work, and he's not going to get it by doing nothing. Now, he might be having dark matches, probably is, but he needs to be on the television because also they need to get his mic work up. Yeah, you're right. His gimmick is kind of, it's not lame because it's kind of neat. All right, but it definitely needs more work. Can't just be 10, 10, 10. He's got to get a little bit more into it. And again, that's only going to work if he's actually on television. So is he deserving of it? Yes. If he's a workhorse, he tries, does his best, does different things every time he goes out there to get things. Yeah, I think he does deserve a push. He's proven that the fans enjoy him. And that's a big key. If the fans enjoy you, then he deserves a chance as long as he's putting in the effort.
But does he deserve the chance over, say, an Eric Rowan, who has a gimmick, who's improved dramatically over the past 3 years, who can actually talk on the mic when given the chance once or twice a year? Like, I feel that sometimes we push these guys that are fresh from NXT, we want to push them up to the mid-card so fast, and then we don't talk about Luke Harper anymore. You know, like, are we really cool with pushing Ty Dillinger, who throws up a 10 sign repeatedly, and his finisher is one of AJ Styles' normal fucking moves? Let's not forget that the tiebreaker is one of AJ Styles' like 25 moves that he hits in a match. Is that really worth a ton of effort to push him? I'm the biggest Ty Dillinger fan here because I saw him when he first started in NXT. I loved the guy. With that being said, I'm struggling at this point. He's not showing me anything different than he did during his NXT days. Sometimes you got to give it to people that are actually improving on the main roster. And I know the comment back would be, well, how are they going to improve if they don't get time? Tough conundrum. Somebody like Rowan right now, he deserves it.
Well, to your point with Rowan, though, like, he doesn't connect with the audience. Whoever's fault that is, I'm not saying it's his. But he doesn't connect with the audience. And that's where his biggest fault is. Yes, he's improved a lot. He does do some good things. I've seen him on the mic. He definitely can do stuff on the mic. It's just his character doesn't connect. And people are just like, when he comes out, it's almost not crickets, but close to it. And when Ty comes out, people are just like doing, yeah, people like doing the stupid things. So
right, but how long is that really going to hold up?
Oh, I mean,
does 10 have longevity, really? I mean, Daniel Bryan had longevity, fucking yes. As stupid as it was, that thing's held up for years now. Does 10 have longevity?
I don't know, because the only reason I say it does is because even when he's not in a match, back when he was on the card, every time there was a count, it was always 10, 10. So there's longevity to it because the fans have picked it up, even when he's not even out there. So it doesn't have, I don't think it has longevity, like, yes, but it's got at least a year or two, if not three.
I think the writers are trying to do is he's over with the fans. They are acknowledging that, which is usually shocking for creative to do. But maybe that these are just tests for him to see if he can step into that spotlight at some point. I mean, not right away. Maybe this isn't the grand push that we're always thinking that some wrestlers are getting. Maybe these are just tests for him to see how he reacts in different situations.
It's possible, but like, to Kent's point, Luke Harper passed all the tests, and what's happening to him? So.
Test passed all the tests.
Yes. And then he passed the ultimate test.
And then he failed his final exam, and now he's dead.
Yes.
But, you know, do we expect too much of every NXT call-up? You know, not every NXT call-up can be a Finn Balor, a Shinsuke Nakamura, a Revival. You gotta have your Ty Dillingers, your Apollo Crews.
But they're both good mid-carders.
Are they, though?
Well, I would think so, based off the other ones named. I don't know. My problem is WWE proper is really not doing too great with all the NXT call-ups that they could be doing. I mean,
it's difficult, though, because, all right, in order to make a star, you got to do what? You got to give them time, and you got to give them wins.
Yes.
At the expense of other people's time and wins.
And right, yeah.
And it is a careful, delicate juggling act that we all think from the comfy confines of our own home, sitting here on a podcast that nobody listens to, and we sit here and say, hey, this shit's pretty fucking easy. And yes, it is easy. To an extent. But the reality is, if you had to juggle that for a full year, at the end of the year, there's a great chance you would have shafted at least, you know, 5 to 10 wrestlers that probably didn't deserve the shaft.
Oh, yeah, that's always the problem with the business. It's always going to happen.
Look at Dolph.
Yeah, perfect example.
That dude's done everything right. Everything right.
And he gets eliminated in 30 seconds in the Battle Royal.
Yeah. Was Mojo and Zach on our itinerary at all?
Well, I figured we could always talk Fashion Files. So let's talk Fashion Files. It was funny. I laughed. I want to know where the horse is. I feel bad for that horse. I feel bad for Fandango. I mean, he looked really distraught about losing that horse. You guys? Kent?
Yeah, you look like you had something you want to talk about, Kent.
I'm questioning if... All right. Do they actually have an end game here? I mean, it started with the office thing, right? And yep. Now they're going off to the horse thing, and they already set up the X-Files thing. First of all, is it Breeze Dango that's actually coming up with this stuff, and WWE's just like, this just stuff's gold, just keep going with it? Or do they actually have somebody that is going to be the bad guy here at the end? I've been wondering that.
I'm hoping there's a payoff. There's got to be something. I don't care if it's ridiculously stupid. I want a payoff.
I would like Chuck Norris to return to the WWE.
That would be pretty funny.
I was trying to think, like, who could it be for the payoff? Like, does anybody have any ideas of who could possibly make for a good payoff? Like, who is so low on the fucking card that they decide that messing with Breeze Dango would make a huge impact and be pretty funny? Like, who is that low? I mean, aside from Sin Cara.
I don't know, because up until a couple months ago, I would have said Breeze Dango is at the bottom of the list. And now, because of the creativity and stuff, they're way at the top now. So it's really hard to...
I mean, could it be Aiden English?
That's scary that we said that at the exact same time.
Well, since the Ascension's out of the picture,
yep.
Aiden English is the next most logical person.
Right. That's all I could think of is Aiden English. But he needs a partner.
Before I forget this, I have to ask this question. You both watch SmackDown.
Yes.
Did anybody pay attention to the referees last night?
No.
No.
Well, I lied. I should have said the referee, because Charles Robinson, I believe, refereed
every match?
Single match. I'm pretty sure he did.
I saw
him do
two.
I was kind of weirded out by it.
I saw two. I didn't check the rest. I didn't pay attention.
I'm pretty sure he reffed every match, which would be historic.
Would be. First time ever.
It would be.
I'm surprised they didn't mention that. It's the first time ever. Historic. This ref has refereed every single match.
No.
Like, I have to go back and like watch it now just to double check, but I'm pretty sure.
He might have, because he was out there a lot. I was about to say, the ref was out. That one ref was out there a lot.
I was going to say they saved their first time evers and their historics for the women's number one contender match for next week.
Oh, yes. First time. Historic. Fives didn't say that.
My balls just went up inside of me.
And with that, do we want to move on and quickly talk about the women's number one contender match for next week? Or as I would like to put it, LOL Charlotte wins. I'm starting this, by the way.
Oh, hashtag LOL Charlotte wins. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
Speaking of hashtags, last week when I was doing the blog and I went to post on Twitter, I don't know if you guys watched last week's Talking Smack, but Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles got talking about a hot dog eating challenge. So as I'm doing hashtag AJ Styles, it comes up AJ Styles Wiener Challenge. So that's been the most useful hashtag that I've used the past week. Just wanted to throw that out there.
I don't like that AJ Styles has a wiener challenge.
Russ, you and I twice participated in a wiener challenge.
Yes, we did. They were delicious wieners.
Loved packing those wieners in my mouth.
Yes.
So good. What were we talking about, Ken Curry?
We were talking about the women's match for next week. What are your thoughts? What are your predictions? Kent, tell me what your predictions are.
Lana Crush. We will get Naomi versus Lana a third time.
No, this will be the fourth time.
Oh, God damn it. Yes, that is my prediction because...
LOL Lana.
Alright, if we're being serious here, what other matchup entertained you as much? If it's Charlotte, it's going to be long and boring. If it's Becky, it's going to be slightly less long, but still, eh. If it's Tamina, it's going to be botchtastic. If it's Natalya, it's going to be super botchtastic. At least if it's Lana, it'll be bombastic.
That's true. You got a point there.
And Russ, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's going to be Charlotte. There's... Why let Becky have anything? She doesn't need anything, right? I mean, obviously, she got it the first time, so who needs another belt chance for her? Charlotte definitely deserves it. Let's face it. I mean, come on. She's earned everything she's done in the WWE. She's hardcore.
Well, did Charlotte not look right last night? Like, I'm not trying to be mean here, but...
No, her peacocking was out.
She looked a little fugly last night.
Her peacocking was out last night.
Like...
I didn't like your outfit.
My anaconda didn't want none.
Out of all of the ring gear that she has, the peacock one, I understand the symbolism of it, but I just don't like it on her.
No, it looks terrible on her.
Everything else she wears, she looks great. I mean, ring gear, I've seen her in person in regular street clothes. The girl is, she's a beautiful girl. She dresses really well. That outfit, though,
If she would just say, I'm a peacock, you gotta let me fly, when she wore it, I would be 100% behind that. But she don't do it.
No, she doesn't. I could see her doing that. This is how this is my reenactment of Charlotte doing it. I am a peacock.
Oh, man, Charlotte promo?
Yes. Ready? I am a peacock, and I need to fly. That's how she would do it.
Were you angry? Were you sad? I couldn't tell.
What? Oh, sorry. I wasn't yelling loud enough then. Let me try it again. I am a peacock. I need to fly.
Holy shit. You are pissed.
Exactly.
Man, that's like a blood feud promo there.
That's Charlotte feud. That's a Charlotte promo. There you go.
Speaking of interesting promos and stuff like that, let's move on to our Are You Not Entertaining segment, and let's talk the Mizzy Awards. I, for one, was moderately entertained by this segment. I thought it was funny. But I think I'm sure you guys have different opinions. Russ, let's go with you first.
Alright, yeah, I was not entertained by this. This was stupid. It was so obvious what they were doing. that it wasn't even... It was obvious, so you thought maybe they'd try to make it fun. They didn't. They just left it and stuck it with the obvious. It was... I don't know. Like, when he was doing his wife, obviously we knew he was going to say Maurice. There was not even...
Miz was doing his wife?
For a Mizzy, yes. That's what they call it, the Mizzy.
So you just have to do your wife and you get a Mizzy?
Yeah, apparently. Or your wife gets one, you know. So, I wasn't that entertained by it at all. It was kind of stupid. It would have been funnier if he had done all this grandiose things and then mentioned another woman's name. That would have been hilarious. But, no, that wasn't happening. It was, meh.
And Kent.
Well, I feel that the Mizzies was lacking one thing. Alberto Del Rio in a bear costume and getting an award. We could have had so much fun, especially if Bo Dallas with his gloved hand would have handed it out to him. It just would have felt more complete. With that being said, I don't know. I'm not cheering on somebody to get hurt here, but I don't know. If they're going to keep giving us this whole like feud thing, if Dean has to go on the shelf for 2 months to end this feud, I say we do it. We have Renee Young dress up in a bear costume and get Dean back.
Well, it looks
was
like
was I entertained? Yes.
Okay. It did look like they're trying to make it look like Seth Rollins and The Miz are going to go next, but...
Both in bear costumes.
Yes. Oh my.
The Miz wouldn't know what to do.
He would be seeing double. Four Krusties.
Oh, man. Curtis looked really good this week, though.
They both looked good. They were almost my man crushes, but then Rusev came back, and I was like, yes.
I have to say, Curtis cleans up nice. Him and Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder looked good in that suit, too.
Yo, back to Raw for a second. Way not to follow up on the Dana Brooke and Emma storyline.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, we should have mentioned that.
Like, seriously, you guys are the worst. If you have a 3-hour show and you can't follow up on a storyline that you started the night before. I hope Emma Lena returns.
It's 8 months away before we get anything out of it. You should know that with Emma. Come on.
And then we'll get something. She'll come out for 5 seconds, say no, and then go backstage.
Get injured again, and then get injured again.
Exactly. That's exactly how it works.
I've invested so much into her, and I am losing so much stock on that girl right now.
Oh, yeah, you should have dropped that stock so badly.
God damn it. I'm still making good dividends with Corbin and Bliss, but Emma's just breaking the account.
Yeah.
Well, let's stop, you know, looking at the past, and let's look forward to the future, and let's, in our segment, I'm not finished with you yet. I know what I'm not finished with yet. I want to see more of the Kanellises and Sammy Wow Wow. I mean Sami Zayn. Russ, how about you?
All right. I am looking forward to the fact that there are no pay-per-views this weekend. Thank effing God. I do not want to. I'm already looking in dread for Battleground coming up. So this weekend, I get a nice weekend off of wrestling. That's what I'm looking forward to.
And Kent.
I'm looking forward to Kurt's angle.
All right, that's fair enough. I could be possibly interested in that, too.
On a side note, Friday, while playing beer pong, I sank a ball, and then I played the trombone like Santino Marella. I felt everybody needed to know this.
Where were you playing beer pong?
Ron's.
Oh, okay.
With his parents.
Interesting.
It was fascinating, yes.
All right, guys, let's cap our night off with our favorite game, shall we? Yes, listeners, it's time for Guess the Wrestler. All right, so here are the rules for Guess the Wrestler.
I thought it was Hide the Zucchini.
No. That's our other favorite game.
Oh.
This is Guess the Wrestler. Guess the Wrestler. Here's the rules. One of us, in this case this week it's my turn, picks a wrestler. It's up to the other two to ask me or whoever picks the wrestler 9 questions about the wrestler in order to, at the end of those 9 questions, well, they have 2 guesses to figure out who it is. Well, guys, this week I'm going to answer the first 2 questions for them. The wrestler is a male, and he is a former wrestler. All right. Question away, guys.
This doesn't count as a question, but did you change your pick after talking to us about a wrestler named Herm?
Yeah, what happened to Herm?
I said Herm to throw you guys off the scent because I hadn't picked anybody yet, but now that I have somebody, it relates to a story that I read online earlier this week.
All right. So, I guess I'll ask the first question. What era is this person known for?
Around 2000s, early 2000s.
Were they ever... Are they in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Okay. Have they ever held a major belt?
Yes.
Did they have long hair or short hair?
Very short hair.
Were they part of a tag team or were they a solo act?
Both.
So they're known for both? Like, you could literally, like, oh yeah, this person's definitely a tag and they definitely did a lot of singles?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you provide the hair color?
At one point it was blonde.
See, I want to say who I think this is, but I don't think it's right, because...
I don't think it's our joke.
Okay. Alright, let's see, let's go with... Were they during... This is going to be kind of a 2-part question, so... you could end it on the first part, but there might be a second part. Were they in for the brand split? And if they were, what was their brand back in the 2000 brand split?
I don't believe... Yes, they were. And they were on SmackDown, I believe.
Definitely not helping me, because I still can only think of 2 people.
Are there any more questions remaining?
Yes. You're on... It's either 6 or 8. I lost count. So we have at least 2 more questions, minimum.
Okay. Were they ever in WCW or ECW?
WCW, no. ECW, yes.
That dashed more of my hopes.
Now I definitely don't know who the hell it is. Alright, major catchphrases?
I don't believe he had any.
Okay. I've got a pick. Now, I just want to be clear on this. They were at their biggest point in the early 2000s. Is that what you kind of led us to believe? Is that correct?
Basically 2002 to about 2010. So basically the
mother dick. Oh, I have jumped around from Chris Candido to Lance Storm. I am not having a good time here. They're not in the Hall of Fame. Short hair. Short blonde hair. It's not Sky Too High.
See, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, see, I was thinking JBL at one point and Edge, but Edge always had long hair for a long time.
Well, I said very, very short hair.
Right, and that's why I got rid of the...
No hair.
Right, so that's what kind of like knocks JBL and Edge out. So I'm like, oh, crap.
But it could be Butt Plug. But Butt Plug had been around since the early 90s.
Right.
But and he was also wasn't an ECW, technically.
Right. That's why I was thinking.
But he wasn't WWE.
What was the other Dudley? What was the other Dudley? But he wasn't really a major.
Spike?
Yeah. But he's dead, isn't he? So.
Nope, Spike's still alive.
Oh.
And his hair was never that short.
But it was
short.
Never short, right. So that's what I was trying to think of.
I mean, he did have a buzz at one point, but. Short blonde hair made me think of the Hollies. Either Crash or Butt Plug. Crash was definitely not an ECW.
Right, but that's
Butt
why
Plug wasn't WWE ECW, but I don't think that was what she implied. Plus, I just don't imagine that Carrie is picking up a butt plug here for the win.
But she did seem surprised that he was part of ECW.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Butt Plug does fit the description.
But she really gonna pick fucking Hardcore Holly? Like, out of everything,
well, she
like
said she had a story. Maybe she just happened to read a story about Hardcore Holly. I mean,
she also said that he was also equally known for a tag team.
Right, and that's what? Where I was a little weak off. But he did have quite a bit tag team going on in the 2000s. Him and Crash.
Yeah, that was only for like a year or two.
Yeah, still. I mean, they did 2 years. Didn't they capture the belt at that time? Some point too.
I'm not able to answer that question. Mm. Do you have anything else, Ross?
No, that's my problem. I can't even think. Like, my people I thought of are Dash. She completely destroyed him.
What's Bubba Ray, technically?
I was going
to
give
humming.
He's not blonde.
I was going to give you guys some hints.
All right, give us a hint.
Let's see. He's held the Intercontinental Championship, the United States Championship. He's held the Tag Team Championship. He had a couple very, very important managers during his tenure.
I'm going to cheat.
Well, that's not really fair.
Well.
To Flair.
It's definitely not fair to Flair.
Interesting managers. That's the key, Russ.
Yeah.
Back in the 2000s, managers consisted of Paul Heyman and Teddy Long, but Teddy Long only managed black dudes.
Well, one of the managers was more of an alliance.
Man, I just... I don't have anything... Russ, where are you going with? Like, where are you going? Like, are you leaning towards something? Are you looking something up that's going to help?
Yeah, I was... It's not going to help. I was thinking Billy Gunn. But I don't think he was ever in WWE or ECW.
Nope.
So.
Then managers were.
Yeah, unless managers he didn't have, unless you count like
China,
Ric Flair,
Rico.
Yeah.
Val Venus?
Never had short hair, though, really, did he?
As Chief Morley, but I don't think he ever had U.S. Championship.
I don't think he was ECW, was he?
Oh, good point. Fuck. Kerry has done really well here.
Yeah. I can't think of anybody. So, I'll go with my guess as Billy Gunn, because I don't honestly know.
Nope. Kent, any guesses?
I'm just going to go with butt plug, because it's fun to say.
That is also incorrect. I actually mentioned this individual earlier in the evening in our game. And there was also a tweet this week that he will be returning to the WWE from injury very, very soon. He was also part of the world's greatest tag team with Charlie Haas.
Shelton Benjamin? Now, you threw us off completely with that blonde hair crap.
There was what? When he was.
You're right. No, you're right.
Had blonde hair. And the manager was Mama.
See, the manager threw me off of that one, too, because I was thinking Shelton at one point. But I was like, well, I don't know any managers that were with Shelton.
I was thinking of Charlie, but he didn't have short enough hair, so I easily dismissed
I should
him.
Have mentioned it, damn it, because I was thinking Shelton at one point, but then she completely blew it off because I didn't think he was ECW either.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
WWE ECW.
See, yeah, okay, that's where I didn't make that connection.
Well,
kudos.
Oh, next week I get to finally pick one.
Hey, all right.
Kent gets a chance to stump us all.
It's going to be Charlie Haas.
All right, that's awesome. My first guess, Charlie Haas.
And before we sign off for the evening, Kent, anything else you want to share with our listeners?
No, next week I'll have something, but not today.
Okay, well then,
Oh, wait, I lied. Game of Thrones returns Sunday.
Woo!
Yes!
I'm working on getting a Game of Thrones group together to do a blog, so check out 9deuce.com and maybe there'll be a Game of Thrones blog coming out, or two.
Yes, definitely check that out. So with that, everyone, for Russ, Kent, and I, we wish you guys good night, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye, guys!
Night, y'all.
Russ, you looked really busy there for a second. Penis? Nice.